How's everybody doing this afternoon?
Good.
It's weird wearing this thing again. It's been a while. Well, for a minute there, I thought Bob was going to stomp all over what I was going to be talking about this morning. Thankfully, he kind of diverted a little bit. So, let's flip over to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Afternoon. It's never going to be normal. Before we read that, I want to talk about patience a little bit. Patience is what we're going to talk about today. And in today's culture, we don't have any patience. Let's be honest about this. How often do we want something and we want it right now? With today's society and today's culture, you can go to a store and you can buy just about anything your heart desires. If you can't find it there, you can get on the internet and you can find it. Amazon Prime, free shipping in 2 days around here. If you live in a big city like Dallas, you can get it within the hour. They're developing possibly delivering by drones too, so you can get it immediately. Today's culture, there's no such thing as patience because everything is at our fingertips. My generation was the last generation that had to do a book report at the library. Today's generation, they get on Google and they can find anything they could possibly desire. They don't know what it's like to have to go to a library, to go through the index cards, to talk to the librarian, to figure out where the book is at, to go back and get it, to bring the book back, to open the book and find the information you want. All they have to do is get on a computer, get on Google, and type in what they're looking for. And they can find an infinite amount of information that they're looking for whatever topic they're trying to cover. I don't even know what a library is, most likely. I mean, today's kids, they don't go to libraries. They use Google. They use computers. If you're in the public system, usually they give you a tablet that has your textbook on it now. So you can just search in the PDF document what you need. They don't have to go through concordance or do anything like that. But how important is patience? Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not something that's really inherent to the fleshly man. Today's culture doesn't know patience. We didn't know patience. Kids don't know patience. Sometimes it's hard for the Christian to understand patience, especially when it's directed at themselves. Let's flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Be patient with everyone. Be patient with the people you get along with. Be patient with the people you don't get along with. Be patient with yourself. A lot of times we have difficulties being patient with ourselves. It's sometimes easier to be more patient with others than it is with ourselves. When we first get out of the baptistry and become a Christian, we expect that we should have it all figured out. We expect that we should have it all the knowledge that we could possibly need. And it's difficult to internalize the fact that we need to be patient with ourselves the same way that God is patient with us. We're not going to have it all figured out right away. The same way a child, when they're born, they don't have it all figured out. Nathaniel's figuring out he can't walk straight off a couch without hurting himself. He's probably the most daring child that we have. He will climb on everything and anything and just walk straight off it with not a care in the world. He'll smack his head, do whatever, and get right back up and do it again. We're the same way as a child in Christ. We don't have full comprehension of everything. We don't have all of the knowledge of somebody that's mature in Christ. And we need to be patient and understand that that is going to come with time as long as we keep moving forward. When you first become a Christian, you don't have all the knowledge of somebody that's been in Christ for 10, 15, 20 years. You have to go through things. You have to go through trials, tribulations to fully understand and comprehend things. It is not going to be there right away, but the potential is there. We need to understand that we need the grace. We need to understand that the grace is there for a reason. We need to be patient with ourselves the same way that God is patient with us. Now, as many of you know, college football started this past weekend. And as many of you have probably seen on Facebook or ESPN or whatever, there's something pretty incredible that happened in the USC game. So, I used to watch ESPN all the time when we had cable. We got rid of cable years ago. But there was a kid that SportsCenter did a big story on. His name was Jake Olson. He was born with cancer of the retina, and I think about 10 months old, he had his first eye removed. So he went from 10 months old to 12 with one eye. He was able to get through and see things. But when he was about 12 years old, he had to have the other eye removed. Can you imagine losing your sight at 12? This boy was a huge, huge fan of USC football. So SportsCenter did a big story on him, followed him around. The day before his surgery, he went with the USC football team with their practice. He was involved with it. They got him doing drills and other things with their football team because he was such a big fan. They followed him a little after surgery as he was adjusting to blindness and not being able to see anything at all. Well, this kid is now a sophomore, I believe, in college. When he was in high school, as a blind high schooler, he was a long snapper on the football team. For those of you that don't know football or don't understand, a long snapper is somebody that snaps the football to the kicker. Whether it's the punter, whether it's the field goal team, he snaps it back there. And can you imagine how difficult it is with your sight to snap that ball into a window about this big as you have people rushing at you? As soon as he snaps the ball, people are running at him and trying to block it, trying to get the ball from him. He did that in high school for 2 years. He walked on to the USC football team, and he's participated in their practices. Every spring, college football teams have what they call a spring game, an intra-squad scrimmage. They split their team up into two teams, and they scrimmage each other. For the last 2 years, he snapped the ball in the scrimmage. Yesterday, he did it in live game, which means he is a letter winner for the USC football team as a blind person. He has no eyes. He's not just legally blind where he can see some things. He can see nothing at all. Can you imagine how difficult it was for him to learn how to do that position without any sight at all? I mean, he's bent over. He's snapping the ball behind him. If it's a field goal that they're trying to kick, he's got somebody on his knees he's trying to snap it to and get it to a window within about 3 or 4 seconds. He's got to snap that ball back. They got to set it down and they got to kick the extra point or the field goal. Very small window. Imagine how much patience that young man had to have in order to get it in the right location without being able to see. How much dedication and effort and time he had to put into his craft in order to be able to perfect it, in order to be able to play the game while he has people trying to take him out. And yesterday they put him into the live game for the first time. They didn't think he'd get into the game. It was closer than expected. USC was playing Western Michigan. Western Michigan was leading for about half the game. USC eventually pulled away and they put him into the game. He had to have his teammate lead him out to where the football was. He can't see. He doesn't know where he's going. His teammate put his hand on his neck, led him out to the football. When he got him over top of the football, the ref came up, put his hand on his shoulder and talked to him, let him know when he was going to be blowing the whistle. Let go of his shoulder so that way he knew that the ref was running backwards and he could get set. As soon as the whistle blew, he could hike the ball. The other team knew what was happening, what was going on. They didn't rush after the kicker. He hiked the ball, kicked the extra point, and went through the uprights. How much time and effort and dedication did it take him to be able to do that? How much time and effort and dedication does it take for us? And patience does it take for us to keep going? I mean, how many bad snaps did he have before he figured out how to do it? How many stumbles and trials and tribulations are we going to go through until we can figure out how to do it? How many times does a child fall over when they're learning to walk? How many times is Nathaniel going to run off a couch or chair before he realizes it's not a very good idea to do that? It takes patience to learn. God has patience with us. We need to have patience with ourselves. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. It says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. Patient when wronged. How many times are we wronged in our life? How easy is it to get mad, to get upset, to gossip, to badmouth? How difficult is it to be patient? We've got to learn to be patient. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Being a fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't mean something that is just given to you after you become a Christian. You've got to learn how to be patient. How are you going to learn how to be patient if you aren't put through things that teach you patience? Not only with others, but this morning I want to focus on being patient with ourselves. Being patient with ourselves and understanding the fact that we don't have it all figured out right away. And how important it is to just keep going. I mean, how many people in 25, 30 years have you guys seen come in and leave, come in and leave? We cannot base what we do off of anybody else but ourselves. We cannot base what we do off of one wrong thing that happened. We cannot base what we do off of one time we may have stumbled and think that we can't be forgiven. We've got to be patient with ourselves the same way that God is patient with us, understanding that we have the grace of God and God is up there cheering for us the same way He was standing up and cheering for Stephen as he was getting killed. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we in an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. We need to have diligence, we need to have patience, and we need to understand that this is not a sprint. Our life especially in the spiritual realm, is not a sprint. It's closer to a marathon. For any of you that know anything about a marathon or don't, it takes a lot of training in order to be able to run a marathon. Back in high school, I ran cross country, I ran track. Never had any desire to ever run a marathon. 26 miles? No, thank you. Imagine plodding along for 3 or 4 hours trying to get that done. If you're one of the best in the world, maybe you'll get it in 2 hours. Yesterday, I went to the Grove Invitational cross country meet. Every time I go back to cross country meet, I get the desire to run again, and then I realize I'm almost 32, and that desire disappears very quickly. But running is such a great example that Paul uses it here in the scriptures for us to understand it. Now, yesterday at the cross country meet, there was a few really, really good runners. When you run a cross country race, 3.1 miles, you'll finish it, if you're incredibly good, in about 15 and a half minutes. If you're average for high school, maybe around 19, 20 minutes. Some people take about 30 minutes to complete it. But it's a long race. It's not something where it's a sprint and you go out as quickly as you can. You've got to pace yourself. Pacing yourself in a 3 mile race that takes anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes is incredibly important. I learned that the hard way. I could never pace myself. I would always start out too fast in the first mile. I would die in the second, and I tried to pick it up in the third. I was so bad at pacing myself that as a senior, I would usually run with our number one runner and then kind of fade away from him and then try to catch back up. Well, he couldn't pace himself at the state meet when we were seniors, and at the half-mile mark, we were in the lead. We were not anywhere close to the best runners in the state. We died very quickly, and we did not run a good race. But hey, when that half-mile mark came around and we came in front of the grandstands of Scioto Downs, we were in the front. But if you can pace yourself, if you can have patience, it works out much better in the long run. Our coach always tried to drill into us the fact that we should have goals for each mile that we run, and we should try to hit that. Don't go any faster because you'll die. Don't go any slower because you won't be able to make the time up. If I wanted to run around a 17-minute 5K, 3.1 mile, I'd need to average about a 5.5-minute mile. Eventually, I got to the point where I could do that. I could pace myself instead of having such peaks and valleys. It's incredibly important to be able to do that in our Christian walk, too. We don't want to have peaks and valleys in our Christian walk because then we might get a little unstable. We'll get really happy at times and really upset at times and really low. And when you get really low, it's easier to just throw your hands up and walk away. We don't want to do that. We want to be able to stay patient, pace ourselves, and understand that we're playing the long game. This isn't the short game where we got to get it all done now. It takes time to overcome. It takes time to understand. It takes time to get it through our thick skulls. Another sports metaphor, because everybody knows I love those. This one, a long running again. So, does anybody here know who Dave Waddle is? Bob, nobody else? Okay, so when you go home, maybe on your way home if you're not driving, get on YouTube and type in Dave Waddle, W-O-T-T-L-E. What are you shaking your head for? Have you ever heard of Dave Waddle, Jeremy? No? Okay, do it. Dave Waddle. He was an Olympic runner for the United States back in 1972. From Ohio, ran at Bowling Green. Goofy looking dude that if you get on YouTube and watch it, he's got this goofy hat on his head. He had tendonitis leading up to the Olympic trials. Nobody had any idea who this guy even was. He had tendonitis. He shouldn't have even made the Olympic team. He made the Olympic team. for the United States, and he went and ran in the 1972 Olympics. This guy, pale, pasty, white guy, with a goofy hat on his head, qualified for the finals. So in the Olympics, they don't have one race for the 800. He ran in the 800. For those of you that don't know how long of a race that is, that's two laps around a track. So he qualified for the finals. He ran in the preliminaries, and he qualified for the finals in his heat. I'm going to ruin it for you, but still get on YouTube and watch it. So in his first lap around the track, nobody expected him to amount to anything at all. He was in the back of the pack. He was about 8 to 10 yards, about 20 feet behind the pack that was running two laps. Everybody's like, this guy's out of the race, obviously. Gets one lap around, he's still about 15 to 20 feet behind the next person. Second to last, he's that far behind. So the people in first place are even further ahead of him. He gets to about 300 meters left. He starts making his move. He starts picking off the guys one by one. Starts picking up his pace. Now remember, this is the Olympics. These are the best runners in the world. You don't just go from last and expect yourself to pass everybody against the best runners in the world. Well, he gets to about 200 meters left, and he's caught the main pack, which is about five people, and there's a couple of guys out in front, and he really makes his move. He passes a whole pack. He gets about 150 meters left. He catches up to about the fourth runner. He gets to the final 100 meters, and he's in fourth place. Gets to be about 50 meters left in the race, and he catches the third place person. Gets to be about 20 meters left in the race, he catches the second person. Gets to be about 2 meters left in the race, he catches the first person, he wins the race. He won the Olympics, even though he was in dead last with 300 meters to go. Less than a lap left in the race, and he's in dead last against the best runners in the world, and he catches up to them. Why? Because he knew how to pace himself. The rest of those guys, the best in the world, they went out too fast. They went out too fast, and most of the pack started dying and slowing down because they could not keep that pace. But he knew how to pace himself. He knew how to pace himself and be able to achieve his goals. He got first place by the hair on his nose because he paced himself and he ran the race to win it. If you listen to him, he didn't think he had any chance of winning it during that race. He thought maybe he'd get third place as he was going into the last lap. But he gave it his all, and he ran through the finish line. For any of you that have ever run, or maybe you haven't run, one of the most important aspects of running is you run through the finish line. You don't stop when you get to the finish line, because if you do that, you start slowing down before the finish line. You run all the way through it. If he wouldn't have run all the way through it, he would not have gotten first place. He barely got first place. But he got first place because he had patience. He didn't go out faster than he knew he should have because there's no way he would have been able to keep that pace. He did not go out faster than he should have because he knew what he needed to do. He had patience. He paced himself. We need to have patience in our Christian walk. We need to understand that God has patience with us. And if we start struggling, if we start having problems, if we start having issues, we need to have patience not only with others, but also with ourselves. Because this isn't a sprint. This is not a marathon. A marathon, if you're good, will take you 3 to 4 hours. This is life, people. We don't know when our number is going to be called. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 50 years from now. We have no idea. But what we do know is we just got to keep going. Marshall's really been hitting hard on that lately, and I wanted to keep that theme going because it's important. We can see that, as Bob kind of alluded to, that when there's change, everybody sticks around. When things get tough, not everybody sticks around. When things get rough, when people start having problems with each other, people will find a way off the train or they'll find a way to stay on it. And it's important for us to understand that we need to stay on it. We need to keep going. There is no other choice but to keep going. Because this isn't just about this life, it's about eternity. And do we want to give up because we have a disagreement with one person? Do we want to give up because we struggled at something and we failed? Or do we want to keep going? You're going to have tough times. You're going to have rough times. You're going to have times where things don't go your way. You're going to have times where you have difficulties with people and you're not the nicest to other people too. But the most important aspect is the fact that you just keep going. There's a reason that we have grace. And that reason is because we need it. You're not going to be able to overcome everything right away when you come up out of the baptistry. It's going to take time, it's going to take patience, it's going to take effort in order to overcome. And we have to have the patience to understand it. We have to have the patience to realize that we can't stop. That can't be an option for us. It can't be an option for us to throw our hands in the air and give up. Keep going. Because not only do you need to keep going, but everybody else here needs you to keep going. It's encouraging when people are here. It's encouraging when we talk to each other throughout the week. It's encouraging when we get the chance to see each other on Wednesdays. It's important to everybody else that you keep going. Don't only do it for yourselves, but do it for others. Because the walk of a Christian is not individual. If there's a block missing in the wall, how easy is it for that wall to crumble? God has placed each and every one of us here for a reason. We need to be here. Everybody else here needs us to be here. So this morning, I just want to encourage everybody to keep going, no matter what might happen, no matter how you may stumble, no matter how mad somebody may make you from time to time. Just don't give up. God doesn't want you to get up. Jesus was standing up cheering for Stephen as he was getting stones thrown at him and killed. He's doing the same thing for us. When you run a race, you can tell the people that are around. Usually your family or your friends are standing at the finish line cheering you on so you can finish it strong. God's doing the same thing for us. And we're doing the same thing for each other throughout the race. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this beautiful day, for everything that you've blessed us with. We just ask that you be with us. Help us to have the patience, Lord God, to keep going. Help us to have the patience with ourselves to understand the grace that you have given to us, that we may continually overcome, that we may continue on, that we may be able to keep going and never give up, Lord God. And just thank you for everybody that's here and the encouragement that they are to all of us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.